welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen.
With me today is abundance teacher and money coach, Jody Lynn Craven.
This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
Jody Lynn, before we got started, we were talking here among the three of us about Christmas and snow and the correlation between the two. Everybody dreams of a white Christmas, no matter where you live and all that kind of thing. And it's kind of cool because, well, you are currently living with the snow. You're in Canada and you've got a good amount of snow on the ground. Here in the U.S., there are certain northern areas that are covered with snow and the rest of it's all just grass and ground. So there's not anything going on there. And our guest is contacting us today from down under, where it's the midst of summer there. It's like she's wearing the strapped, the strapped outfit and so forth. It's like, oh my God, what can I do to cool the place down? So, you know, three different, completely different perspectives on Christmas, right?
Totally.
It's going to be good stuff. So Christina Foxwell, thank you for joining us on the program today. Christina, she calls herself a transformation coach, which is a great term, describes really well what she does. She works particularly with women who have faced domestic violence, PTSD, trauma, loss. She also works in corporate cultures, literally helping them with their cultures. She has an interesting little phrase here. She says, I believe organizations are like a beehive, and it's about being together, B-E-E-I-N-G, being better together.
I love that.
Isn't that good? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's because it's so a place where each person contributes with their skills and talents every day and where they're part of a hive and work alongside others to bring about the vision and purpose of the organization. So we're going to learn all about that today. Christina, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I can feel we're going to have so much fun.
We always do.
I'm really excited to be with you. Yeah, it's wonderful. So to everyone on your side of the world, hi from down under. It is nice and warm here. And if I start glowing, it's because I have to put the air conditioner off that hums in the background. So I might have to lose the jacket, but it's really, really nice to be with you and to share stories and to share insights.
It's worth noting that Irving Berlin, who composed the song White Christmas, was not only Jewish, but he wrote it while he was on a beach in the summer. So,
oh, wow.
There are a number of different parallels going on here today.
I could throw sandballs, not snowballs.
That's right, yes. And you have a book that's just come out called The Glass Angel. Tell us about that.
I do. So it's my story of transformation and healing and growth. And it is really based on looking at my life as a gift. And I've, you know, talking about writing that book in on the beach, but my book was, I've broken it into three pieces. The first book is an analogy about a glass angel. I mean, I meet so many people who think they're broken in their life and they are not broken. Mm-hmm. It's their journey of alchemy. You see, the challenge is they just need to find how to unlock it. So I share this analogy of an angel that gets broken and how she finds her healing and how she finds how she was supposed to be exactly where she is. And then I share elements of my story, which I always thought were the most, I call it my Tupperware cupboard. You know, if you're like me, I run around and I have this plastic cupboard where I put all the containers in and I don't always have time to pack it nicely. So for everyone else there who loves packing your cupboards, I'm sorry, that's not me. But when my beautiful British husband opens that cupboard, the Tupperware comes flying out. And so that's often what happens, right? We've got these stories in our life we just don't want to deal with. So we pretend they're not there. And then we think we can outrun it, but we can't. And then we get to a place either in our career or our life where it just becomes too heavy. And that's your time for transformation. So I share how I've transformed my life, my thinking, how I'm approaching my business, my work, my family, and myself. And in the final part of the book, I share tools to alchemy. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's a wonderful thing for someone to go to choose you. And that book is about choosing you.
Jody Lynn, I can tell already you and Christina are going to have a lot to talk about because you're a money coach and I'm sure you run into exactly the same thing that she's talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the way that you described it like a Tupperware container or Tupperware cupboard. I'm just thinking about mine right now. And also I feel like you just said something. I can't remember the exact words that you used, but that was the time for transformation. when things are getting heavy, or I can't remember how you said it. And I couldn't agree more. There's an opportunity there to learn so much about yourself and the way that you see the world, and just shifting, knowing or having that awareness of how you see it changes everything.
Oh, absolutely. And I think when you look at something and you're looking at it through the lens of fear, you'll stay there.
Yes.
But if you can look at it through the lens of acceptance and love, you'll shift. It's just amazing if you can start recognizing who you are without fear. I think then you can start making the changes in your life that take you where you want to go.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to hear more about these tips for alchemy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Fascinating. Tell me more.
So alchemy is such an interesting process, right? Because years ago, I worked in investment banking, if you can believe it. Now I work with people and teach them how to be good together. That's just such a, you know, dichotomy.
Yes.
But that company that I worked for was called TMA, and they had this alchemy picture on the front. I was only 23, and it really hit me that we could turn something that doesn't seem, that is maybe doesn't seem very precious, into something amazing and beautiful and precious. And that's kind of that alchemy. But alchemy is not an easy process. Alchemy is a hard process. Alchemy is a process. It's like almost when diamonds are made, it's deep pressure, right? So if you think of transformation, and we're all called for transformation, I think that's the gift, right? But it's about walking through that space and recognizing that your life is a gift. So one of the key elements to alchemy is acceptance. Mm-hmm. And the next part is to fall in love with who you really are.
That's a tall order, though. Sounds simple. Mm.
But it is not a simple thing. It is not a simple thing. My dad was a Pentecostal minister, right? I was not taught about that. I was taught to be humble, and I love God with all my heart, right? But if I look at the way we were raised to be humble and servant. And, you know, if you dare look at yourself with love, you are vain.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a misconception, because it's not about this that you see. It's about who you are. And see, when we grow up, our parents go, you're good or you're bad.
Mm.
Yeah. You did this wrong. So we start negotiating love.
Yes. No. You know, I went to a personal development seminar when I was in my early 20s, my very first one. My dad encouraged me to go. And what just popped into my brain just now was one of the first exercises that they got us to do. You had to stand up in front of the class, in front of like 30 people, and they didn't choose who went first. You got to, you know, whoever wanted to go first could go first or whatever. And everybody's sitting on their hands. And the question was, who are you? And you go up there and it's like, hi, my name is Jody Lynn Shep. That's my maiden name. And they'd be like, nope, sit down.
Oh dear.
What? Who are you? I am a, and then insert the career. Nope, sit down. And you'd keep trying. Like, what does that even mean? Who am I? Because we look to our outer world, the things and the stuff, to define that. So that is such a deep question, Christina.
It's a deep question. And this is where we get unstuck in our life, because we never get taught to be peaceful in who we are. And as I hit this transformation piece in my life, I got a journal, because I've been married a few times. So for anyone out there, if you're having a heart attack right now, breathe deeply. We've all got stuff. But I was sitting at an airport and I thought, oh my goodness, my fourth marriage is about to go down the drain. What are people going to say? You know, I'm such a failure. All these really bad words. And then I was like, no, but maybe I'm not. And then I rushed to a bookshop, as only someone like me could. Grab this red moleskin leather journal, because I love writing. Got a pen and started writing, remember who you are. I am. And I am are creation words, right? So who am I? I am me. Who's me? Well, I got to find me, but I can use words that give you the essence of me, and that's generous, kind, love. I am me. And I think that is so, so key. So I had to rewrite all the I am statements. I am a good wife. I'm worthy of love. And all the I am statements that I didn't believe myself that kept me locked in the cycle of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are often taught about who we are not.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not good with money. You are not going to be a good leader. You will never be able to do this. So then you know what we do? No, no. If you're stubborn like me, you prove people wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
But then
if you're doing it with force,
that's what I call my ninja Barbie. I will show you, right?
Yeah.
I do it with force. But the problem is I'm doing it because I'm trying to prove to you who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And see, in that very place, I give away my good enough measure, mm-hmm. which is something that shouldn't be negotiable ever.
Mm-hmm.
My worthiness is mine. It's not yours.
Yeah, it's not yours to give me.
It's not yours to give me. I have to fill my own love tank. You, no matter how many times you tell me whatever you want to, you know, it's never going to make me better. I've got to make me better.
Mm-hmm.
I could keep going, guys. Like you don't, you know, alchemy is really finding you. I think that's the key thing.
You're bringing a story to mind, and I've told this one. I actually told this one fairly recently, but in first grade, my teacher met with my mom and my dad, you know, the parent teacher conference, and I apparently was doing very well, and she wanted to find a way to kind of balance it out. So she told my mom that I would never be creative, which is particularly ironic because today I do a podcast where we talk about conscious creation all the time. You know, so, and I wasn't trying to defeat what she had taught or anything like that, but it occurred to me that regardless of whether we take it head on and say, oh, you know, I'm going to overcome this thing or just simply go on with our lives, those events still touch us. They still affect us. And they often lead us to making changes, to shifting in ways that we aren't even consciously doing. Or we can also, alternatively, we can end up in situations where we find ourselves trapping ourselves. And so we decide to consciously start making changes, perhaps because we talked to a coach like you who suggested, yeah, you can transform yourself. But I'm just fascinated by the fact that we have these seminal events that happen earlier in our lives, and one way or another, they come back to touch us in some way.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I think in acceptance, and that's part of the alchemy process. Well, I've got to accept that the things that happened aren't good or bad. They just are.
Mm.
And they've brought me to here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look back at them, instead of looking at them going, man, that is just horrible, shameful, awful. Yeah, that was not okay. Yet that is not now. And I'm so grateful because it's brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I share some real deep and I'm not shy to share my story. Right. I think my family, if you're listening, I love you guys. but I think they sometimes go, oh gosh, what is she going to say now? But my story is not shameful. I'm not shameful.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. I am not shameful.
Right.
You might feel uncomfortable if I share my story because of your shame challenge. That doesn't belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I see shame? I call it a lighthouse moment. It's a calling to transform my life.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Right? It doesn't have to be something awful. It's just it's calling me saying, hey, here's an opportunity. Find peace. You can.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. That's fabulous. Something else I really like too. I mean, now I'm kind of revealing my own spiritual beliefs here, but I really do believe we are all elements of what is known as God. We are all creators. We are all, that's what the whole concept of conscious creation is about. The recognition of the fact that we do create with every thought, with every deed, with every action, with everything that goes on in our lives. We're constantly creating, whether it's stuff that we like or stuff we don't like, we're still creating it. We're creating and creating and creating and creating. And what you're talking about is not only empowering that creation, but celebrating it. I love
Absolutely. I'm celebrating it and then I'm choosing it.
Yeah.
So if you think about creation, and I agree with you 100%, my team always have said to me, Christina, gosh, you create your life. And I was like, absolutely. I'm the author of my life. But until I get to the point where I'm peaceful and I'm connected to me, my life is being created because of things. So yes, I'm creating, but I'm not actually consciously creating. Mm-hmm. Imagine if I can get to a peaceful place where I can consciously create because I'm in presence. Ooh, that is powerful.
It's often hard to express just how powerful that is because you say it that way and it just sounds so simple. But the fact is there is so much power behind that. It's almost impossible to exaggerate how much power there is there because there is so much.
There's so much. And if fear is your source, I always say there's two sources, love or fear. If fear is the source of your authoring of creation, the things you're going to experience will be lack of, a harder road. If love is your source, you're going to be able to create from a beautiful place. Does it mean it's going to be easy? No, you're human. Like, I like to say we're just this spiritual being, but you know, we're human. We're in this flesh and blood body, right? So we are going to get times when we feel uncomfortable or fearful, but we can step back into a space of love is peacefulness to me. It's acceptance. It's generosity. It's connecting deeply with myself. Mm-hmm. Love for me is not just, you know, love between people, but it's love in the space I am. You know, I want to use an example. You know, Brené Brown talks about being in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that? Okay, good. So I often refer to her work and I'm coaching this amazing young woman and she's, you know, had a tough life and we're really working on this transformation piece. And she goes, right, I'm going to have the courage to show up in the arena. Can I take my sword? I went, honey, no, this arena is sword free. She goes, but how do I protect myself?
Mm-hmm.
And I had this moment of absolute clarity. And I said, when you stand in presence and love, it will hold space for you.
Nicely said.
Yeah. Really. So true.
Can you imagine? It is true, right?
Yeah.
It is true because it almost becomes this grounding, boom, which means then I have the courage to say, hey, I'm going to share my voice on this piece. I'm going to share my perspective. I'm not right. You're not wrong. I'm just going to bring this thought to life for us to look at. Or, hey, that's not okay. It's not because I'm angry with you. It's not because I'm being fearful, I'm just sharing a boundary from a place of deep love. For who? For me first.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can't love me, how can I love you?
Mm-hmm.
You're reminding me of something that happened to me earlier today. Earlier today, I appeared on someone else's podcast, actually, David Strickle, the Stream of David. They were doing their podcast, their weekly podcast today, and invited me on. And I ended up playing the host role because we actually did a stream session. So David turned it over to me and I interviewed the stream, kind of like what we do here on the show. Yeah. But one of the things that came up in that conversation was the idea that we live in this world of polarity. We live in this world of contrast where stuff happens. A lot of stuff happens that we don't like. And the stream, by the way, is kind of similar to Abraham Hicks. It's the mm-hmm. Abraham version, but this is coming through David. But the stream was talking about how it's so important to not only appreciate who you are and to love who you are, but to appreciate what you're going through, to find value in that crap that you just had to deal with, which is one of the hardest things to do. And they really did a great job of explaining that in detail. But I'm kind of curious to know, when you think about that in the context of what you teach, what do you think of?
Every day is a new learning experience for me. That's the first thing. Because I can tell you, I can have all the skill or the knowledge. I still don't know what today will bring. So when I'm dealing with humans, and that is really my job is to stand next to people, to share with them, to hold them, to hear them, to see them. And so I learn about myself, I learn about behaviors, and I learn about staying out of judgment and being peaceful. Because, you know, oh, I have to tell you this. I have to learn about gratitude. I learn about gratitude. Because as I watch things happen, because I'm present, and by the way, I'm not Supergirl. So some days I'll get, you know, riled up with the journey. So sure. I've got to do a lot of work to stay peaceful.
Welcome to humanity. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I do say I'm a human. That's the,
yeah.
I'm a human. And I have very human moments in my family practice because my whole family work with me. So I might walk out and go, I have just had a conversation that I'm wrestling with. I've just seen something in an organization that's making me want to go into my executive space and say, well, let me sort you out now because this is not okay. You know, and that I've got to go back and go, well, what is my job? And what am I learning and what am I showing and what's the gift? See, I have learned something. You know, we have this anxious component that hits us that says, whatever we're going through, this is bad. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be sorted out right now. It does it really? Or must we learn how to sit with it a little bit? And then, of course, for me, I mean, I've been in executive roles and I've run this practice. I want to do action. That's my thing, you know.
Sure.
But yeah. What I'm learning is you don't have to action Ninja Barbie everything. Sometimes you can just look at it with generosity and go, I wonder what this is. Let me look. Let me see. Actually, I had a CEO on a coaching call with me yesterday, and he went, I channeled my inner Christina. I went, well, okay, cool. What did
that's
that
look right.
like? He said, well, instead of getting uptight and wanting to jump all over this person, I was peaceful.
Nice.
I was peaceful, and I wanted to hear them. Now imagine that's the hive, right? That's the hive that we spoke about in the beginning, Walt.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because if I can be peaceful, I'm not just going from a knee-jerk reaction to take action when I shouldn't take action right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool.
Oh, I think it's super cool.
Yeah.
It's super cool. It is a it is a space where you're not going to take action, but you want to take wise action. I do have to say that, please.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, we're
growing.
You're
going to navigate. Yeah.
We're human beings, and we want to grow, and that's one of the reasons that we're living the lives, going through this world of polarity, because we are trying to grow. So, of course, yeah, we want to take action.
Oh, I do like what you've just said about growth.
Yeah.
Can I share a little picture for you in your mind?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my husband is 6'2". John, if you're watching, I love you, darling. He's drinking his tea in the kitchen a few years ago, and they gave him an executive coach. And his wife's a coach. I wasn't his coach. And he said, oh, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. I said, why? And he said, because I don't want to change.
Oh.
Because I want to share Lens with you. He's not the only person. Often I work in alignment, so I go and coach all the executives. We don't have 100 coaches running in there. I need to get a picture of everything that's happening so I can help them find their way to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like relationship counseling on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said to him, but honey, I want you to think of this. And Walt, this takes us back to that creation conversation. Imagine if you never feel you have a choice about your growth, but you're just having to adjust to life. Growth's happening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not creating the growth you want. Imagine if you can sit with someone, look at your life differently, hear and see, and choose different ways to navigate your life. Imagine what you create then.
That's beautiful.
What are you thinking about, Jody Lane, as you're hearing that? Because I know it's resonating. What are you thinking about?
Oh, I'm thinking about the times in my life where I've been scared to change. That first personal development course that I was talking about, my dad took it when I was in high school. He went through the whole series that this company had, and the company he was working for paid for it. And then he invited all of us, like his children, to go, and my mom, and, you know, whatever, to grow and to learn and whatever. My brother went with his wife. That was a request of my father's before they got married, so they could learn to communicate with one another and have a more solid foundation. And he offered the same opportunity for me to go at the same time, and I was not ready. I did not want to go, because deep down, I knew that everything would change. But I wasn't conscious of that whatsoever. I just was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Whatever. And I was like 19 when the first offer came, or 18 or something. So I was very young. And, it was probably 6-7 years later maybe 23, 24, somewhere in there. So a couple of years later, my dad extended the offer again, and I went. And everything did change, and my whole life blew up after that in a really good way. Now, looking back, I can say that. But it was so interesting, because I see in my practice that people are afraid to look. They're afraid of what they'll see within themselves. And then that prohibits them from seeing anything else that could be possible. And I love the way that you put that, Christina. It's just beautiful. What if? It gives you an opportunity to see a new perspective and take different action that will create what you really, truly want, or more. It, you know, I don't know why we always go to like the negative. Well, what if things change? What if that's a good thing?
Yes. Or what if you tell me, the thing that I fear most about me and you see it?
Yes.
Yeah. Shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we get lots of opportunities to practice, by the way.
Yeah. In my brokerage business, I went through that for years. I always thought, when I made the conscious decision when I walked into that career, I started part-time, but I made the conscious decision that I was going to show up in the way that I always wanted to show up. Because before that, I was in a very abusive relationship, and I had lost myself, and I had lost that spark, and I was like a little tiny mouse in the corner, like this. Like, I wouldn't look at people. I was very soft, very quiet, not very talkative, all of those things. I was very shy. I'd been worn down, and I had decided that I wanted to be more like my brother and more like my dad and my mom to a certain extent, like just more open and more vibrant, and people wanted to be around me. So I walked through those doors of that brokerage house and was like, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be, you know, life of the party. I'm going to be all of these things. And for years, I had in the back of my mind when somebody would say, you know, you're doing really well, or you're doing really great things, because I was, you know, like off the charts successful when I first started there. I always thought the other shoe is going to drop and they're going to find out. But I never finished that conversation. I would just run in fear. The ninja Barbie, is that what you called her?
Oh, yeah.
You'd come out and be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're working harder. We're working harder. Go, go, go. Like, I wouldn't rest. I would work, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to run from the possibility of being found out. And when I went on my spiritual journey, that was one of the questions that I asked myself. What are they going to find out? That I'm not good
enough. Good question.
Yeah. Yes. And the answer was that I'm not good enough. Like, in what regard?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was a lot of questioning of that question, like, of what? Like, what's not good about you? Like, is it your heart, your soul? Like, are you doing bad things, Jody? No. Okay, so why are you afraid that people are going to think that you've done something bad or immoral or whatever? Well, today I know more information about the stock market than I did, you know, 5 years ago when I started. So what if I put them in the wrong investment? This is a really good example.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can only do with that now with what I know now. I can't go back in time and change it. I can only go forward. So I can only make better and better decisions as I learn and as I grow. And I have to give myself grace for what I didn't know at that point. But even at that point, I wouldn't have done something immoral, illegal, or whatever. So is it really bad? And it was even the conversation of what is bad?
Yes.
Exactly. What does that mean?
Exactly. I have a term on what is bad, Jody.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
I do the best with what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might think I'm bad, but I don't have anything else to give you. That's all I have.
Yeah.
And in that not having else to give you, there's a power.
There is a power.
And there's power looking at other people that way too. My dad has always said about his father, if he knew better, he would have done better. And that philosophy of looking at people through that lens has allowed me to have more compassion for them.
Exactly.
You know, is their heart, their soul, the essence of who they truly are trying to hurt me? No.
Never.
Never.
That's you know, powerful. Jody, my first husband was a riot squad policeman in apartheid South Africa.
Wow.
Oh boy.
When Nelson Mandela came out, he was part of the, and it was terrible. It was hard times. We got married young and I was married at 21. I was a mom just before I turned 22. He was 23. So that's pretty young. And there's much more to my story than that, but I suffered domestic violence, tremendous control, all sorts of stuff. And you know, as I look back at this journey and I started my healing and I looked at him from a lens of compassion, what happened and the control was not okay. But there were many things there. I didn't know how to use my voice or love me. I didn't know that we could ask for help. Maybe we wouldn't have taken help, but he did the best he could with what he had. It wasn't okay for me. I left. I left in ways that could have been better. But I did the best with what I had. And so if I look back at my story with love and compassion, I can find forgiveness.
Yes.
And you know, forgiveness sets me free.
That's the point of it.
That's the point. And you know what? If I send love back into my story, and it's not always easy because sometimes, you know, your survival brain will trigger a response and you'll have a memory that will be an opportunity to see the love over it. The lighthouse moment, like the, I need to work on that. Right. But it's these moments of compassion, because imagine if I can't have compassion for somebody else on what they did to me. How am I expecting someone to have compassion for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can't have compassion for yourself, how can you let in compassion from anybody else?
Ooh, that is important. So let's go back to love, right? Because if you can't love the essence of who you really are, and if you can't love yourself, then you are not able to take in kindness. And actually, as much as you think you're giving kindness, you're giving what society has taught us to give each other, which is, and I don't want to challenge this as a bad thing, because then people are going to go, what is this lady talking about? But it's the norms we're taught in how to be together. For example, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. And you walk past each other and I've got to go to the bathroom and sit on, close the cubicle in the bathroom and cry my heart out because I'm not fine. But actually, if I had to say to you and you ask, how are you? And I go, actually, I'm not fine. And you go, darling, we all have those days. It's okay. Just keep going.
Yes.
You have just treated my vulnerability with disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that moment, you've told me that you never allow yourself the opportunity to not be okay and to nurture you.
Yeah.
This whole idea of what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, it's a topic that we've addressed many times over the years here for good reason. And I always go back to what former co-host who used to do the Wednesday show with me, Cindy Chavez, would talk about. And I really bought into what she talked about because the way she expressed it is, I have given up thinking about things in terms of right and wrong. I've given up thinking about them in terms of good and bad. I now think of them in terms of preferred and not preferred, wanted and not wanted. And by doing it that way, I free myself from the judgment, from the morality, from living by somebody else's standard. And that enables me to go inside and start to do something I wasn't doing before, which is what you were talking about, the loving of
Absolutely.
Yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I've got to step away from the fear of what you think of me.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's hard, right?
Takes practice. Lots of it.
Well, and I think the fear of what you think of me is it, a lot of it is assumed, you know, like I assume this is how you see me. This is what you think of me based on these actions you're perceiving me as. And we were talking about this last week, in fact, of having the courage to ask that person that you're putting all of this on if that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the courage for that person to think, maybe they have done that subconsciously, but I'm not sure that would have been their intent.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting thing. In our family, we often use those words. So is that the story you're making up or is that the truth?
Yeah.
And we now use it. Like I have to tell you, in our family, because I live the work, we all live the work. Because you use the language, you are doing it every day. So your transformation then becomes the transformation of your whole world.
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
So powerful.
Because you can't change anyone, but you can work on you. It's what you have.
Well, you only have the now anyway, so what else are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
I mean, really. You can continue to remember all the stuff that happened before and wallow in it and feel victimized by it if you really want to, but you're still just doing it now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you can look at this whole journey of yours as a kaleidoscope of colors. You know, some are dark, some are light, some are, but the whole piece is a tapestry of your life and it's beautiful.
It's a wonderful alternative. I mean,
that
just changes. Talk about pivoting. There's the Abraham Hicks concept of pivoting right there.
Totally.
Taking the old way of thinking, saying, no, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go this way instead.
This is how I choose.
So beautifully. Yeah.
Yeah. This is how I choose to see it. This is how I'm going to live it. And if you are, because I think it's important here. Sometimes when we see someone's journey, we don't see the kaleidoscope. We see a train smash. Because that's our fear.
Yeah.
So maybe we can learn to honor each other's journeys.
I think we have to start by honoring our own because that's where we get the power to
do that.
Honor somebody else's. It's hard to honor somebody else's journey if you don't honor your own. That's like torture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is like torture. And then imagine this is the biggest thing. And Jody, you spoke about that earlier too, right? You can't honor your story if you don't look at your story.
Yes. Isn't that funny how we do that? We go out of our way to avoid our own stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Of course we do. Cause you know, what did someone say? That is ugly. I went, yep, that might have been really ugly in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's turn it. Let's start looking at it. You know, I don't know if you must have heard of Edith Eger. She has written 2 books, The Choice and The Gift. No?
I'm not familiar with that one. No.
She wrote her first book in her 90s. I saw her on Oprah. Of course I did because I love Oprah. I saw her on Oprah and she was talking. She survived Auschwitz.
Oh, wow.
And she, I know. And so she has written, when I read her first book, The Choice, it's a choice to be a creator. I was like, oh yeah, that's powerful. And then her next book came out as The Gift. And it was just as I was doing a lot of this work in my own life at looking at my life as a gift. And it's perfect timing, which is, I do believe, one of the reasons I was brave enough to write my story in The Glass Angel. So I try to find the threads of my story so I could weave the tapestry that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to find that, I call it the shame roots. We've all got them.
Yeah.
I had to find mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always say, and I had to douse it with love. And every time that root pops up again, I go, I still haven't doused you with enough love, forgiveness, acceptance.
Yeah.
And that's where those coping behaviors, Jody, and if you're coaching people in finance, right, and how to invest and use their money wisely, our coping behaviors come out that stop us from being able to effectively master and be the creators of our world in the way we want to. Because
mm-hmm.
they block us. They're the glass ceilings we've created for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we've created those coping behaviors because we don't want to look at the stories. So we want to feel better. So we do something else, but that doesn't take that doesn't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the really, really odd part. And Jody Lynn and I have talked about this quite a bit. We've talked about it with other co-hosts as well. The fact that when you finally get around to it, you finally decide to actually look at your own story, find ways to love it, find ways to approve it, find ways to do all that, find ways to actually, you know, play it out to its logical conclusion.
Yes.
It's astonishing how quickly that happens. We spend mm-hmm. all this yes. time, days, weeks, months, years, building up this association, building this horrible association. Oh, I can't go there. It's just, there's too much pain. I'm a victim, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. And then it takes 5 minutes to work through. It's almost disproportional.
It's so disproportional because you've just got to go there for the first time with someone who stands next to you.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like a match, like matchstick house, you know, right? As soon as you turn to look at it, you're just like, you're, both, right. yeah. you're like, well, that was scary. Really? Okay.
But it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this though. If you can look at your story and because you're so scared not to, find someone who's willing to look at it with you, that you trust enough that they show you compassion and love as you look.
Mm. That's because one of the practices in my coaching business. It's called the best friend. Mm. You know, you write out all the things that you think you are and the way that you messed up and like, I'm a horrible person because of this and I'm a loser because of this. And like, you just unfettered, put all of it down and then read it through the lens of your best friend. Would they agree? No.
Never.
Because they love you. They would be like, this is incorrect. This is incorrect. No, this is, you're being silly. That's not true. They would argue for the opposite. And when you start to see it from a different perspective like that, then you can open up space to give yourself compassion in the same way. I love that.
Christine, that raises a question in my mind that I want to ask you. And yes. Jody Lynn's going to recognize this one because I talk about this a lot. I love I love perspective. It's one of the reasons I have so many co-hosts, so many guests, and sharing so many wonderful things. I'm curious to know, what's your perspective on perspective?
We need more perspective every day on many, many things, because truth is only belonging to you, is a fraction of the full truth. So I always use, can I use an example with perspective? Are you ready to have some fun with me?
Yes.
Love to.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you have to follow my instructions like to the letter.
I think we can do that.
Are you ready? Okay. So if anyone out there's, you know, sitting on your couch or whatever, that's cool. All right. So take your hand, put it right up against your face.
All right.
Okay. So kind of like that. All right. So I need you to describe to me exactly what you're seeing.
Pink stuff.
My hand.
Pink stuff. Fuzzy. Is it fuzzy?
Yeah. Okay. It looks like I have like two fingers that are all joined together.
Blurred together, right.
Yeah.
Now, if you walked around like this every single day, how would you feel?
I'd probably run into things because I wouldn't be able to see anything.
Totally.
I'd feel the pain because I'm running into the things.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll end up with a headache because no one wants to be this close up to anything.
No.
Okay. Now what I'd like you to do is pull your hand away from your eyes until you can focus on it clearly.
Okay.
Okay. Now look at your hand. You see it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Flip it over, please. Ooh, it has another side. Now, have a look at it from this side. And that side. Oh, my gosh. Okay, welcome to perspective.
That's good. That's a nice example of perspective.
Okay. Yeah. That's what we all do. We run around like this. But that is not what we should be looking at. We should be going, what is this really? Oh, my goodness. What does this do?
Goes from being an obstacle to becoming something really useful.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I use this example because when we're running around like this, our perspective is based in fear. When we step back and we get perspective and we ask someone else to look and show, tell us what you see. What do you see? Oh, this is, and then suddenly I see something very different.
Yeah.
And then I see how it becomes the gift, how I can use it.
Two of my favorite things about perspective, one of them is how often here on the show I get somebody coming on like you, and you're sharing your ideas about perspective, and my resonance says, yes, 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 I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. And that's wonderful. But there's also the other part. And this doesn't happen quite as often. It's actually a fairly rare occurrence, but it does happen where somebody brings on a perspective that I don't really like all that much. And the funny thing that happens is I learn more from that one.
Because they're taking you to a place you've not been yet.
Right.
And this is what I think about that. If I'm uncomfortable with that perspective, it means I need to go and work on something that's holding me back from seeing that as a truth.
Yeah.
How good is that as a reflection?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lighthouse moment, Walt. That's what you've just had when someone shares something. So some people have read my book and then I get this message. I had to put it down. I'm going, that is exciting. Why? Because that means you need to learn something. So when you're ready, pick it up again.
We are challenged so many times in so many different ways every single day in our lives. Reading a book like yours, that's one example of it. But it happens. In fact, you can't go through the morning without being challenged by something.
Open your email.
Yeah. Anything. Let the cat out. I mean, something's going to happen that's going to challenge you.
Yeah.
Now, how often do we embrace those challenges?
Well, we look at those challenges as right or wrong, but they're not. They just are.
Yeah.
if we can imagine if we can walk through our life with less fear and more acceptance of just it is. Mm-hmm. Man, it transforms your thinking.
It does.
It doesn't make you, it makes you more wise. You know, it makes you just kinder to yourself and then kinder to others.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with courage, so brave. I love these words and I know they're true because to walk them is a choice. And to understand how they come to life in your life daily is the ability to see them. For example, we're building a dream home. It's taken us 5 years. It's not a dream anymore. It was quite a nightmare. It's now turned into a dream again, and it is what it is, right? And my husband measures the space where the washing machine has to go in, and it's too small for a standard washing machine. So, and he's having an anxious moment, and he's a chartered accountant, so it has to fit. Me, I'm just, I would just saw that thing off and throw it out. It doesn't matter. He's going, no, we've paid money for it. Like, I'm going, honey, there's always an answer.
Yep.
And we're standing in the big shop. Like, it's called Harvey Norman here, where you buy all your white goods and refrigerators and everything. And now he's stressing out, will the fridge fit? He's measuring it. And I said to him, honey, you've measured it 3 times. It is what it is. It'll fit or it'll not fit. You believe it'll fit? It'll fit. If it doesn't fit, then we'll make a plan. And he goes, how can you look at it that way? I said, well, how can I not look at it that way? If I'm worried about what it isn't and I'm not even there yet, I'm putting myself through excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
If I've done what I can, I have to accept that it is what it is. And when we get there, we'll do what we need to.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so throw your hands in the air and let's dance around and release the fear. And he was like, I'm not doing that in this show. you know.
Did you do it anyway?
I did. Well, actually, he put his hands in mine. I went, oh, no, don't give me your fear. And I went running around, flapping my hands around in the shop, you know.
I love it.
I just think sometimes it's about just living. I mean, we take the ability to live away from ourselves, get stuck in so much of what life isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can just see life for what it is. Just on that, I was doing a book launch in one of the cities here in Australia, and I had a human resources director say to me, what's the biggest thing in companies when you're working with executive teams that you see as a challenge? I was like, oh, that's such a good question. We see in each other who we are not and how things are not okay. And we never see who we are and how things are so we can accept it to navigate our way. So we're always fighting these invisible isn'ts, not good enoughs, you are nots versus you are, how amazing, what do we do together? Wouldn't that be a far better place to live?
Oh, it's so much better.
Yes.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
I've used the same the same pivot idea when I have an IT background, and I've used it when helping people who are learning to use computers for the first time. Because I date back to like the early 1980s when adoption was just starting and everybody was afraid of these things. Oh my God, I'm going to break something if I hit the key and all that kind of stuff. And I kept trying to find ways to help them alleviate their fear associated with it. One of the best ones that I found along the way was to point to all the things that they were so afraid was going to happen. You know, I'm going to blow up the computer. I'm going to break it. The whole thing is going to fall apart. And then follow it up by saying, you know what's so incredible about the whole thing? It isn't that you can break it. It's that it works at all. It's astonishing that the dang thing operates.
It's true, right?
And that took a pressure off because when they looked at it that way, they said, oh yeah, that's true. So now the focus was taken off of, I could break this thing, which by the way, they usually couldn't. But I can break this thing. It came off of that and went on to what an amazing thing this thing is.
Could you imagine what I can do with it?
Yeah.
See that, then it's limitless thinking.
Right.
That's when we've unleashed our potential.
And that's when we let go of all of the resistance and the fear and the doubt and the scaredness and, oh my God, this thing's going to fall apart. It's going to blow up. It's the end of the world. Oh my goodness. We let go of all that because now we're appreciating what this wonderful thing does.
Imagine just looking at life that way, Walt.
I do every time we do a show.
Yeah. Imagine. You know, we limit ourselves with, oh, I could only do that. No, rubbish. Mm-hmm. I can do what I'm destined to do. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to live in tomorrow. I can live in today and make this moment amazing while I have these wonderful big dreams, which I don't fear.
Jody Lynn, I need you to do a summary here because your summaries are usually good. What are you thinking about? How do we tie this together? Because this has been like, this particular segment especially has been wonderful, but. How do you tie this together in your mind?
Oh. I feel like we covered so much ground from the beginning to end. We started with awareness, the conscious awareness, and we moved to compassion and to changing your perspective. So if I was to put things into a nice, neat little box, if we're talking about alchemy, the awareness is like the oven, like the clay oven, going on. The choice is like choosing to put something together and putting it into there. And the perspective is when you turn on the fire, I guess, or the fire meets the clay. When those things combine, that's the alchemy of transformation. How did I do, Tina?
That was amazing. You had a Yoda moment. That was fantastic.
I tried. Thank you.
Oh, no. I love that. Thank you so much. That was a perfect creative visualization of our conversation today. Mm. Beautiful.
See, you can see now why I went to Jody Lynn, because I mean, I put her on the spot, and anyone who was watching could see all her face like, oh, what do I do with it now? But then she just goes
it
there.
Comes out.
Yeah. Well, and it happens every time. I mean, talk about having a wonderful co-host. You're just, okay, we're going to turn the show over to Jody Lynn. Watch what happens. It's going to be amazing.
And when it's not, it's still amazing, right? So it's okay.
Yeah. It's good. It's all good. Well, something else that's been amazing has been this visit from you, Christina. This has been really fabulous. One of the things I really want to tell you about is I love the spacing you use in your communication. Mm-hmm. You probably use what we might call blank space better than anyone else who's been on the show. You create these pregnant pauses, and they're pauses for us to think and to kind of integrate what's just been said into our own thinking, and then you take us to the next step. So I want to compliment you on that. That's a skill that not many people have, and you do it really, really well.
Mm-hmm. If I could extend on that too, Christina, your voice, the energy it carries along with those pauses just takes you on this journey, I feel like, physically, emotionally, through the process that you teach, and without saying very many words at all. Like, it's very, very beautiful to be witness of it.
Oh, you both have given me such a beautiful gift today. Thank you so much.
Well, Jody Lynn knows if you think that's the gift, wait for the next one, because this is the one that I do with everybody, especially somebody like you who gives as much as you give. There are so many people whom you've never met, whom you've never seen, who have heard your words on this podcast, on other shows, in your book, in various ways, and you've touched their lives in ways that you don't know about, and you've encouraged them to make changes that you're completely unaware of. We never hear about those, but we deserve to be appreciated for it. So on behalf of those people whom you've never met, you've never seen, thank you for what you've been doing and what you're continuing to do, what you've done with your book and what you're doing with your teaching and your coaching.
You know, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. And I want to have a good cry now. So I'm going to have a good cry, have a little coffee. It's been just lovely hanging out with you both today.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like family.
Yes. Such a beautiful conversation.
Beautiful. Thank you. And thank you for your love. I'm moved.
What a great way to wind it all up.
Yeah.
Jody, once again, we hit it out of the park.
Of course we did. Yes. Thank you, Walt.
Yay. Yeah. Excited.
And thank you to our podcast listeners everywhere. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.